Next on BYUSN, the latest change to the collegiate athletic landscape could result in more eligibility for a guy like Jake Retzlaff. We'll discuss what it means for Jake, BYU, and college athletics. BYU will be without one key player for the first half against Colorado. What effect will that have on the Cougar offense?
BYU defensive end Tyler Batty previews the Alamo Bowl and shares where he feels the BYU defense has an advantage on the Colorado offense. And are we concerned about Travis Hunter as a wide receiver or as a defensive back?
Can you say both?
I was going to say, can we say both?
Yes, we can. Welcome to BYU Sports Nation, presented by the BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere. It is Thursday, December 19th. I'm Jerem Jordan. He is a guy who enjoys a mid-game highlight dunk, Jason Shepherd.
A.J. DeBonta, I don't know if you've heard, has decided to come play at BYU.
I heard
a little something about that. There's a video of him with a monster dunk last night that is making the rounds. And for those watching on BYU TV, you're looking at it right now. Little known fact, I taught him that move. I did not.
Little would be the operative word there.
Between the legs, windmill.
Is this at Kahuku? I'm seeing a Raider. No. It's in Hawaii, though. I mean, this is something. I mean, in game?
You imagine.
Midnight Madness, you ready for that next year?
That on the Marriott Center floor BYU uniform. Place is going to go nuts.
Can't wait, man. That is unbelievable. Okay, good juice. All rise and shout. It's time for What's Trending.
Junior college transfer, Jake Retzlaff.
Going from Corona Centennial, then to Riverside for a year, and then finally at BYU, it's been incredible.
Because we're not getting treated like high school kids anymore, we're getting treated like adults, because we are, and we're playing an adults game.
We should have the snowflake effect, like, constantly during the show.
Did we just do it right now?
Just looks like it's just snowing throughout the entire show.
I know it's just a thing we can overlay, but yeah, we'll see. Right. Okay, Vanderbilt quarterback Diego Pavia recently filed a lawsuit in November against the NCAA to get another year of eligibility. If you want something right now, you just sue the NCAA, you'll probably get it. Arguing that his ability to make money through NIL was stunted because of 2 years in junior college. Yesterday, Pavia was granted eligibility for next season, perhaps setting the precedent that players who played at a junior college could get those years back of eligibility in FBS. So, what do you make of this, and how much could this affect a guy like Jake Retzlaff, who spent 2 years in JUCO?
Yeah, it could affect a whole lot, and not just with Jake, but any JUCO player. And in reading up on this, so your JUCO service only counts as 1 year of your eligibility. So if you play 2 years in JUCO, it only counts as 1 year in the NCAA.
Which it did count as two.
The story that I read this morning said that it only counts as 1 year of eligibility.
Interesting.
So maybe we need to get clarification on that.
Yeah.
But either way,
yeah.
I think the number one question as it pertains specifically to Jake Retzlaff is, okay, if that's the case, number one, does he want to get that year back? And number two, does BYU want him to have that year back? And when I say that, I mean that less about Jake specifically, but more just sort of rhetorically and in general. In any of these situations, is it in the best interest of the player and the program
to have them tie up that spot for
a very long time?
Right.
And I think especially in the immediate future, where this may be new and not anything that people were planning on, it could really cause even more chaos to a situation in terms of what you had planned with guys coming in. And this is going to be a spot in a position that's available in this year. Well, maybe now that year then pushes it another year or two, and then you end up losing recruits because of it. It's really, really interesting. A couple of other questions that I kind of thought about was, look, is everybody then, obviously in this certain situation, you had a player that specifically sued for this.
Yes.
If this becomes something that is put into law and that it is part of now college athletics, is it something that you have to then apply for? Is it an automatic thing? Do you automatically get these back?
Right.
Is it an individual basis where you go in and recruit? The other thing, and you sort of touched on it sort of jokingly, but it's true. The power is with the player right now.
100%.
In college athletics. Yep. 100%. This is another blow to the NCAA trying to control things. Because they're over right now on just about everything.
Oh, they're taking L's, as the kids say, quite a bit right now. What is the college experience now, by the way? With this latest thing, it could be an 8-year experience if you play JUCO, you have a redshirt medical, 4 healthy years, you had a COVID year in there somewhere. What is eligibility in the NCAA now? Will we see at some point where 5 years to play 4 seasons just goes away and it's just semi-pro and you can be here for a long time? Now the age advantage isn't a BYU thing or whatever. What's to stop the collegiate experience from being extended at this point? It is really interesting because the NCAA is not going to dole out rulings that are in favor of the people. Typically, they've been governing as they saw fit for the quote-unquote student-athlete. There's still no governing body for the athletes themselves. Will they collectively bargain at some point relative to benefits, insurance, and so forth of being an employee, which I certainly feel like they are, but they aren't technically right now. It should be very interesting to see what happens here. As for Jake, if I'm him, I try and get an extra year of eligibility. I don't know what he wants to do with the rest of his life, but for most guys that don't make it in the pros, it's a pretty fun experience.
Yeah.
I know my experience as a non-athlete at BYU was pretty fun, and I'm still here. I haven't left quite yet. But for Jake, it's going to be interesting if players like Jake seek a similar path to get an extra year, because this feels like a precedent-setting moment that happened yesterday relative to eligibility and junior college involvement. So we'll see what this looks like. And if that's the case where it's like, hey, 2 years equals one, or they don't count at all towards FBS eligibility, what is the college experience now? Yeah. Is it a 5 or 6, 7? We've seen 7 years with Cam Rising now and Bowman. We're going to see 8 with Bowman. TBD on Rising with what he does at Utah or somewhere else or whatever. But it's a long, strung-out experience now for these guys, and it'll be interesting to see what Jake chooses.
You know, and it's interesting, too, when you think about the idea that playing in a completely different entity would have ramifications in something else. Because the NCAA does not have rights, or they don't control junior college. They're two completely separate entities.
Don't control NIAI.
No, they're
NAIA.
They have no control over the others. So if you think about it, it is a little strange that, because it's like, I mean, it's not apples to apples, obviously, here, but it's like you can only play in the NFL a certain number of years if you played in the CFL. Well, that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like they're two completely separate things.
Right.
And if you really think about it, it does make sense that you shouldn't be penalized for playing in the junior college ranks when you go to the NCAA, when they're two separate entities.
Yeah, it's like Mihailo Boskovic hasn't played in the NCAA, but he's a junior.
Right.
Because of something from Europe and Serbia. Yeah, it's interesting. So we'll see what Jake and guys like Jake choose to do here.
All right, Colorado Heisman Trophy winner Travis Hunter also won the Chuck Bednarik Award, which is presented to the Defensive Player of the Year in college football, and the Biletnikoff Award, which is given to the best wide receiver in college football. I believe I was going over this the other day, Coach Prime's press conference, he said, I think he won every award but the Thorpe.
So, which Thorpe is a thorn in the side of the program. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, the guy has got a lot of hardware, to say the very least.
He's going
to
be all right.
So, are you more concerned about Travis Hunter in this matchup against BYU as a receiver or a defensive back?
It's definitely receiver, because his numbers are legit. Yeah. 92 catches, 1,152 yards, and 14 touchdowns. He's got 5 multi-touchdown games. This guy has 4 picks. He's a really good corner. Blaine Fowler talked to us yesterday about how he's an NFL corner. He's an NFL receiver, first and foremost. This guy and his connection with Shedeur Sanders is very dangerous. Like, he is a threat to make a spectacular catch like this one against Utah, or just to get down the field, or to have great hands and make a game-winning play in the end zone. And Shador's going to find him. Shedeur is an incredible athlete as well himself. So, yeah, it's definitely receiver for me, although very aware of him as a DB. You can't go, the Chuck Bednarik winner. we ignore him there. No, he's awesome on both sides. That's why he's the Heisman Trophy.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious that it's at receiver. Look, and you know, at corner, he can only defend one guy for the most part. But on offense, he can. You've got multiple defenders that are paying attention to where he is. He affects the game more as a receiver to me than he does as a defensive back. So I agree with you 100%. It's obviously as a receiver.
Okay, BYU receiver Chase Roberts will match up with Travis Hunter at some point.
And is looking forward to
it. And here's what Chase, did he say this to you?
Yeah, so yesterday I recorded my pregame interview for the bowl game that you'll hear on Cougar Pregame Live on BYU Radio. And I asked him about the opportunity to go up against a player like Travis Hunter.
Oh, I'm so excited. I want to line up against him every play. And I'm gonna try to point him out, see what side he's on, and then go line up against him. So you dream of stuff like this, yeah. Especially with the best players in college football. You want to play in the NFL one day, and so that's the goal, is to go up against them and make plays and show that I can hang with the best players in the nation.
I look forward to that matchup. I think that's going to be a fun one.
I love that attitude, and every athlete should have that attitude, that you want to challenge yourself against the best in the business. I love that attitude, and I love him talking about that.
It'd be funny if and it's like, gonna be no, great. I don't want to go up against him.
And honestly, it's going
to
be
I'll
a great matchup.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you're Colorado, don't you want Travis Hunter on Chase Roberts?
Yes, and I like Jacob Robinson, you know, or Mark Collins right. on Travis Hunter. I like that matchup. Yeah. That'll be fun to watch. It was confirmed yesterday by Coach Satake that Darius Lassiter will be suspended for the first half of the Alamo Bowl against Colorado due to Lassiter's ejection late in the Houston game. Apparently, it was ruled a fight. So you missed the first half of the next game. What does this mean for the BYU offense?
Yeah, I mean, it takes away a weapon early in the game. And look, certainly, you know, BYU's offense is to some degree looking to kind of pick back up where they were sort of in the middle of the season where everything was clicking.
Yeah.
The offense did not finish the year with the same type of potency that we saw at the, you know, the middle part of the season when it was really clicking. So to have a guy like Darius Lassiter not available for the first 30 minutes of the game, that certainly takes away a weapon that you'd rather have.
BYU's pretty deep at that receiver yeah. with Keelan Marion, who's received every All-American citation, it feels like, except for the AP. JoJo, Keanu Hill, Parker Kingston, and these guys. Really, I think BYU needs to establish the run in this game because Colorado doesn't really run it. They don't want to run it yeah. that much. They want to throw it a ton. So if BYU can control the game a little bit and get ahead and then make it a little more predictable, although it's pretty predictable what Colorado's going to do. They're just really good at it. Not overly concerned, but Darius Lassiter certainly the 1B to Chase Roberts 1A.
Yeah. All right, speaking of Chase Roberts, we talked about him a second ago. Got a decision to make. He has said publicly that, you know, at the end of the year he was likely going to go to the NFL. That decision is up in the air, whether he is going to go to the NFL or come back to BYU. And yesterday, during media availability, he gave a little bit of an update.
I'll announce it this week, in the next couple days, on social media, and so I'm going to wait for that.
All right.
Sounds like his mind's made up.
Yeah, it sounds like
He doesn't have to think about it more. He knows what he's going to do.
He's now just sort of deciding when he wants to announce that. Do you think there's a chance he comes back?
Okay, so he did end up saying, yes, he has made a decision. I think he's coming back more than he's leaving. I think there's some unfinished business there. I think he can improve his draft stock even more. Mm-hmm. I think he's a guy that could slide into that kind of fourth or fifth round type guy. I think right now he's not in that spot probably if he comes out right now. He's probably like a seventh rounder undrafted free agent. He's one of the best receivers BYU's ever had
yes.
in terms of being a 6'4 guy with great hands, deep threat, possession receiver also, great on slants over the middle on third and long. They can get you a first down. He's a guy who makes plays. The longest play of the season, 62-yard reception right before the half against UCF. Like, he is a playmaker. I think back to 22 Baylor, the toe tap at the end of the half. Like, this is a kid who's one of the best receivers BYU's ever had. And I would love to see him, obviously, selfishly, back on the team next year to improve his stock. If he leaves, best of luck. Excited for him. But I would love to see Chase Roberts back in a BYU uniform. And in this era of NIL and revenue sharing and whatnot, he can make more money next year than, you know, he could otherwise.
Yes. It as takes an undrafted, part of the argument to leave
right,
off the table.
As an undrafted free agent, right. Is he anxious to just get into that space if that's what it is? And there's no guarantee that you make a roster in that situation. There's no guarantee if you're like a fifth rounder that you make it. They probably want to keep you, but you got to earn it. So I'm hoping that Chase, AP Chase, as I like to call him, comes back from BYU. Let's see.
Yeah, I'm sort of feeling like he's coming back too, and that's not with any inside information. He did not tell me anything off, you know, when the recorder wasn't going.
You could have teased. Find out. No, coming up here, on the
funny
pregame.
Part about it was when they came over and said, "Hey, Chase is ready for the interview," and I said, "Hey, let's go over here a little bit away from everybody." I'm like, "By the way, this entire interview is going to be me just asking if you're coming back." So I mean, I kind of joked about it before, and he laughed. But so it's no inside information, but it does feel like that it's sort of trending that way. And look, if he does, I agree with you. Getting him back would be massive for this offense. You talk about bringing that type of production back. I mean, he's still got one more game to get to 1,000 yards, but he's pretty darn close without this game anyway. And not just the yards and some of the plays he made, but when BYU needed a big play, they needed a big first down to keep a drive going.
Yep.
Jake Retzlaff was looking at Chase Roberts, and more times than not, he made the catch. He was so clutch this year. So to get him back would be awesome. And I hope that's the way this turns out.
51 for 843 and 4 touchdowns. 16 and a half catch. Those are good numbers, man. Okay, Yegor Demon and Richie Saunders are unlikely to play against Florida A&M, according to Kevin Young, which is impacting BYU's rotations. Here's what Kevin Young had to say about those two.
Constantly evaluating it. You know, it's been hard because of the injuries. I think we'll still be in learn mode, even in the conference when it starts, which I'm not, you know, crazy about. I wish we had a little bit better sample size with what we're doing. Injuries have made it hard, but at the same time, been a blessing because you've been able to see different things, different combinations.
Are you concerned BYU hasn't been able to set rotations quite yet prior to Big 12 play here in, a week and a half?
Yeah, I don't know. Concern probably is too strong. I mean, obviously, Coach Young said it's been an issue. Because, look, you want to have all these guys playing at the same time so you know what you have, especially when you're making the jump from the non-conference to the Big 12. And so, yeah, I mean, it certainly makes things more difficult. But am I concerned? No, because, I mean, they've had enough off-season practices. They've had enough games where they were together. You would certainly like to have them have more continuity in terms of minutes together at this point. But I don't think I'm concerned about it.
Yeah, I'm a little concerned by the injuries because I want BYU to be Big 12 ready.
Yeah.
Are they Big 12 ready right now? I would argue no. They like Dallin Hall still figuring things out coming off of missing 4 games. Yegor Demon's lower body injury after the Providence play at the very beginning. That looked like an issue, perhaps with his knee. They put a sleeve on it in the second half. He hasn't played the last couple of games. He's going to miss a third game here, which, let's be honest, these games aren't in question with the results. These are the perfect games to sit out.
Yeah.
But how many games does it take for BYU to sort of figure it out? Yegor Demon and Dallin Hall together. Richie Saunders is a massive piece of this team and what he provides as a glue guy. And, man, missing him is a big deal. Not against Florida A&M, but you hope to sit him out to get them back against Arizona State. Because then it's on. ASU, just out of the AP poll, and a good team. Every team in the Big 12 is going to be a challenge, as we've talked about. So I'm a little concerned because I want BYU to be ready to go. Because BYU's NCAA tournament seed will be determined by how they fare in Big 12 play right now. They haven't played a strong schedule. They're going to be 9-2 walking out of non-con. What wins can they muster in quad 1 and quad 2 to merit as good a seed as possible? Because that's how you can win in the NCAA tournament. It's not pull off some big upset. It's seed your way into a situation where you can win. And last year, BYU unfortunately lost as a 6. We hope BYU can get at least a 6 again. So a little bit of concern for me. Not freaking out, but a little concerned.
Yeah, I mean, and last year, again, completely different team, different coaching staff, different scheme and philosophy. You know, but BYU, you know, was without Foos for a while. And obviously they had Dawson for, you know, a couple of minutes and then lost. They went through some of this, but when you have so many new players, I can certainly understand the point that you're trying to put together a lot of different pieces that didn't have a background like last year's team had.
They had continuity coming into that second.
Yeah, but ultimately, I'm not concerned. They'll figure this out. They're too talented. It's too talented of a roster to not figure it out.
As long as they beat Arizona State in game 1, I think it's okay. And then you're at Houston. That's a tough challenge.
Yep.
Our poll question of the day is this. What's the top storyline of BYU sports right now? You got bowl prep versus Colorado, Chase Roberts' NFL decision, Darius Lassiter's first half suspension, Yegor Dem and Richie Saunders injuries. Other right now leading the pack, bowl prep for Colorado, which is coming up in, what, 9 days from now? 46% Chase Roberts' decision right after that. Continue to weigh in at KurtJB07 on X. Preparing for the Alamo Bowl. This is the biggest postseason game the Cougars have played in a while. I would argue since Cotton Bowl, second best bowl game ever. BYU has a chance to be one of the top stories in college football outside of the playoffs. Certainly some momentum into the offseason is up for grabs. Continue to weigh in on X, Facebook, and Instagram.
All right, BYU basketball with Kevin Young is tonight, 8:30 Eastern time on the BYU TV app. The player guest, the one and only Dallin Hall. You want to come and see the show live? You can get tickets in the link on BYU Sports Nation's social media accounts.
Up next, Spencer Linton's one-on-one conversation with defensive end Tyler Batty on the challenge of facing Colorado's high-powered offense and where he feels the BYU defense has an advantage. This is BYU Sports Nation.
Super excited for another opportunity to go out and play football with the guys. We don't have any quitters in the locker room, man. But those guys will fight till the last whistle blows.
Intercepted the other way! And Tyler Batty with his second pick of the year and career.
You have to go back to the last decade since BYU didn't have Tyler Batty on the roster. He's been a stalwart for this Cougar squad. We're back in Studio B on BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan, Jason Shepard with you. Yesterday, Spencer Linton spoke with defensive end Tyler Batty about slowing down Shedeur Sanders in the Colorado offense, where the BYU defense has an advantage, and what he will remember most from his time at BYU.
Tyler, let's rewind to the moment you found out that BYU was going to face Colorado in what Jake Retzlaff is calling the People's Big 12 Championship.
Oh, boy. Yeah. I'm super excited. They're a great team. Clearly they have a Heisman winner and a, golden arm on their team. Those guys are carrying a lot of hardware. They're a good team. We're super excited to face them. I think it's going to be a fun game. Yeah, can't wait.
When you watch Shedeur Sanders at quarterback, knowing that your job is to get to him and pressure him and create chaos, what do you see from him that stands out the most in film review?
Yeah, he likes to extend plays. He likes to extend plays. He can extend plays. They're looking for the big plays. I'm really excited for that. It's going to be a lot of fun, chasing him around the field. Yeah.
How does BYU's defensive line, with all the veteran experience and senior leadership, match up with Colorado's offensive line?
Really well. I think it's a great matchup. They're talented, of course, and these guys are well-versed at throwing the ball. But I'm super excited. I think we have some great pass rushers and a lot of guys that can create chaos, and so I'm really looking forward to doing what we do.
BYU, on a 10-win regular season, has an opportunity to get to 11. So how much will a win or loss against Colorado impact how you view the entirety of this season?
A lot, honestly. I think it's an opportunity for us to go make a statement. I think it's an opportunity for us to kind of prove ourselves in another way. We didn't, make it quite as far as we would have liked to, but this is a great opportunity to go play a great team and battle and hopefully come out with a win.
It's your final opportunity to play football as a BYU Cougar. So how are you handling the emotions of that in a big bowl game around the holiday season and everything that goes into that?
It's wild. It's kind of surreal. I think it's one of those things, it doesn't hit you until you're done. You know what I mean? Trying to soak it all up, trying to soak up these practices, just enjoy being out here with the guys. The clock is ticking and we don't have too many days left.
Finals are also happening right now. And I know that might not impact you right now as much as it does other guys, but there is a concern that, there's distractions because of all of the requirements in school and the holidays and traveling. And so how is the team looking right now, in your opinion?
Great. Honestly, this is the best we've looked all season. Guys have taken care of their stuff in the classroom. These guys are super disciplined, and then they don't want any of that affecting their on-the-field stuff. And so guys have been super great about finals, getting them knocked out, and the team is looking really, really good. So I'm super excited.
What are you seeing specifically from your team that makes you think, we're lasered in, we're zoned in?
Just the execution on the field. The execution and the energy, little mojo, guys are flying around, having a good time, and executing at a high level.
What are you looking forward to most about the bowl game festivities?
Playing with the just playing with the guys. I'm really looking forward to the game. You know, the festivities will be fun. I'm really, really looking forward to just playing football with the guys one last time.
What's on your Christmas wish list?
Ooh. Some snow.
You want a white Christmas?
I want a white Christmas.
Okay, let's go with that theme, because I'm starting to pick up a little bit from your wife that you're a romantic and you like holidays. Like, not a lot of people know that. Okay, so what's the go-to Christmas movie for you to make you feel the holiday spirit?
Ooh. The go-to, honestly, like the Polar Express, man. Hey, don't sleep on the Polar Express. That's a top-tier Christmas movie. Get you in your holiday feels. Me and Elena did watch The Elf the other night. You know, that's a classic. You got to. So we're headed down that road, you know, building up to Christmas. So getting in the holiday spirit.
Okay. When Josh Groban starts singing, you start to cry then?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, Tyler, thinking about December 28th, when you run onto that field, knowing the national spotlight is super bright. I mean, and it's been labeled the biggest bowl game outside of the college football playoff. How do you not allow the emotions and the added spotlight from impacting the execution and how sharp BYU has been?
Yeah, it's another game. It's another game, 1-0. Like what we said all season, 1-0. You know, 1-0 this week. That's what it's all about.
Okay, finally, what will you remember, I should say, the most about playing football at BYU?
That's a tough question. I'll probably remember practicing in this IPF the most, honestly. The amount of time I have spent in this IPF, what I'll take with me is just the memories with the guys at home, on the road, playing in Lavelle, the unreal crowds, the unreal games. And I will remember the practices, you know, the time spent in the off season, grinding, getting ready for all those games. And, I've got a lot to be thankful for and just, a lot to look back on and be grateful. And, you know, I've enjoyed my time here at BYU.
Okay, one more bonus question. What is your advice and message to the future BYU football Cougars, especially on the defensive front, which you have invested so much of your time and blood and sweat and tears into?
Nothing happens by accident. Yeah, greatness doesn't happen by accident. It takes a lot of sacrifice, a lot of work, a lot of effort. But this program's in good hands. Our underclassmen are incredible. They'll be better than I ever was. And so just super excited for the future of BYU football.
Tyler, let's give you all the BYU Sports Nation karma we can muster up here to enjoy the holidays and go and play well in the bowl game. And I hope somewhere down the line in your Christmas wish list there is a European sports car that finds its way into your life.
Hey, thanks, Spencer. I appreciate it.
Tyler loves him some cars.
He does.
He's going to remember playing in the IPF, practicing a bunch. They spend so much time to get to these big moments. Like, you just think about, like, JoJo Phillips has like 10 catches, but those are huge moments. Like, every little moment is a big deal, and these guys have spent, in Tyler's case, 5 years of blood, sweat, and tears, right, for BYU.
You look, and obviously with our jobs, we can sort of take like the media approach to this. Tyler's always been such a good interview.
Yeah.
He's always been willing to do interviews. He's always been one of the faces of the program.
After losses, which tells me who the leaders are. When you lose, who talks?
He has always been fantastic. He's a good guy. Good guy to talk to away from football. Yeah. By the way, he's one heck of a football player that when he's gone, we're all going to miss.
And his story is crazy. Go watch the Deep Blue. Yeah. He had an injury as a kid that made him think he'd never play again. Yet here he is and thriving. He's got some NFL potential, which is exciting. So we'll see what happens, man.
BYU men's basketball hosting the Florida A&M tomorrow night as the Cougars.
Is that what they say? They say the on it?
They do. Them and Ohio State.
Really?
As they wrap up non-conference play, pregame coverage begins at 8 Eastern on BYU TV and BYU Radio.
Shaq's son, Shakir plays for Florida A&M.
Is that a Shaq and Shador?
Shakira? Perhaps. After the break. We're from Gladys Take, Chase Roberts, and Kevin Young as we break down headlines in Cougar sports and pronunciations of Shaq's kids' names. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
Follow BYU Sports Nation on social media for content throughout the day on Facebook, X, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok.
Welcome back to Studio B. I'm Jerem. He's Jason. Time for today's headlines.
Number 17 BYU football held practice yesterday in preparation for the Alamo Bowl against number 23 Colorado. Head coach Kalani Sitake spoke to the media about how bowl prep is going and what he sees from Colorado on film.
They have tons of talent, and that's in all three phases. I don't think their defense gets enough credit for what they've done this year, but I think a lot of the credit goes to the offense, obviously for the Heisman Trophy winner and Shadur and the rest of the group. But we're excited. It's a complete team. We're excited. That's why they're ranked, and we're excited about the game, the matchup.
Coach Sitake also said the wide receiver Darius Lassiter will have to sit out the first half for his unsportsmanlike conduct penalty against Houston in the regular season finale.
Receiver Chase Roberts gave a timeline on when he will make his decision of whether he comes back to BYU or goes to the NFL.
I'll announce it this week, in the next couple days, on social media, and so I'm going to wait for that.
Perhaps he's waiting for the Photoshop to be finished. We'll see. Roberts had previously said on a podcast earlier this season that his plan was to declare for the NFL draft, so we'll see if he returns.
BYU men's basketball head coach Kevin Young spoke to the media yesterday ahead of BYU's final non-conference game against Florida A&M. Coach Young spoke about how injuries have impacted finalizing his rotations as they get ready for Big 12 play.
Constantly evaluating it. You know, it's been hard because of the injuries. I think we'll still be in learn mode, even in the conference when it starts, which I'm not, you know, crazy about. I wish we had a little bit better sample size with what we're doing. Injuries have made it hard, but at the same time, been a blessing because you've been able to see different things, different combinations.
By the way, I need to go to the BYU store and pick up that hoodie. I really like that hoodie. Coach Young, speaking of injuries, said it's also unlikely that Richie Saunders and Yegor Demin play against Florida A&M tomorrow night.
Way to get the title sponsor in the
official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
I like that. ESPN's Joe Lunardi has men's basketball still out. Their first out now is latest bracketology. We talked earlier this week, Shep, about how not too concerned because it's late December. You feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm not concerned right now. I mean, worry about it a little closer to March.
Yeah, yes, we will. We have some time.
Zach Wilson and the Denver Broncos play the Los Angeles Chargers of Orange County in San Diego tonight on Thursday Night Football.
Discovered by the Germans. After the break, we'll preview the Alamo Bowl from a Colorado perspective with Brian Howell of BuffZone.com. This is BYU Sports Nation. Welcome back to BYU Sports Nation. Jerem Jordan alongside Jason Shepherd in Studio B. We now welcome to the program Brian Howell of BuffZone.com to preview the matchup in the Alamo Bowl between the Buffs and the Cougars. Brian, last time we chatted, we were talking about maybe Colorado coming into the Big 12. Now we're both in the Big 12 playing in a bowl game that isn't a conference game, and there's a Heisman winner in Boulder. Oh, how the turns table, as Michael Scott once said.
Yeah, here we are. It's a conference game. It's not a conference game, right? And it's an exciting matchup, I think. And, yeah, a lot has changed since the last time we talked. And, certainly the Cougars were already in the Big 12, and now the Buffs are there. And quite a turnaround for Colorado. And, you know, 2 years ago, if you would have told me I was going to cover a Heisman Trophy ceremony, I would have asked you which team I was covering and why did I move. But now here I am in Boulder, and the Heisman's in Boulder. So it's crazy.
Can you put into words what the last 2 years have been like to cover this program, certainly from where it was, but then you add the Coach Prime effect and all of the attention that he garners and everything surrounding that. What is this program like to cover on a daily basis?
Well, it's more normal than I think people would think. It's not the circus that I think a lot of people have made it out to be. It's fun covering it. The access is not what we used to have, but I think it's a fun program to cover. And day-to-day, it's more football than circus. And just considering the football we've seen over the last 15, 20 years, it's a lot of fun to cover it because it's good football. And we haven't seen a lot of good football in the last decade or so. So it makes it a lot more fun.
What does winning a Heisman mean to the program and to the fan base?
It's a lot. I think because it's Travis too, because he's not a guy that goes out in the media too much. He was actually scheduled to be at Big 12 Media Day and was a no-show. He was the only guy that was scheduled to be there that didn't show up. He just doesn't like doing media. But he's so out there with some of his podcasts and vlogs and things like that, that fans have gotten to know him. He's a very, you know, fun-loving guy, really good guy. And so the fans feel like they've really gotten to know him. And so I think that it means a lot to the fan base that he's the one that did it. And, you know, it's been 30 years since Colorado had a Heisman Trophy winner. And I know some schools don't have one, but, you know, 30 years is a long time. And I think the fans have really taken to Travis. And so it was pretty cool to see him win that.
Well, you've got the Heisman Trophy winner. You have the potential number one overall pick in the NFL draft in Shedeur Sanders. And I hate to ask this question this way, but look, we gripe about when kids decide not to play in these bowl games, and, you know, we kind of pile on, and it's becoming more and more common that some of the bigger players don't play. Travis and Shedeur are going to play. My question to you is, why are they going to play? They don't have to prove anything. They have cemented what their stock is going to be. So why are they playing in this game?
Well, I think, first of all, you know, Shador's dad's coaching, and I think he wants to, you know, play one more game with his dad. And, you know, Travis really views Coach Prime as a dad. So I think that relationship has a lot to do with it. I don't think if they were, if it was a regular head coach, you know, meaning that it wasn't relation, I'm not sure they would play. But, you know, Shedeur made a good point when we talked to him after the Oklahoma State game. He said, look, we understand that if we opt out, there's going to be a ton of guys that opt out, and this is not going to be the team that we put out here all year. And frankly, I think had they opted out, they might have had too many guys opt out to where they couldn't even play the bowl game. So I think they understand that aspect of it, and they realize that they're a huge part of this team and that it would not look good if they opted out and asked everybody else to play.
Is Colorado, like BYU, over the fact that it lost to Kansas and then didn't make the Big 12 title game? Because BYU fans are feeling that same thing, and we could have very well had this conversation, what, 3 weeks ago ahead of the Big 12 title game?
I don't know if they'll ever get over it, but yeah, I think they've slowly accepted the fact that, hey, this is just where we're going, and let's embrace the Alamo Bowl. And there was a lot of, I don't know if anger is the right word, but very much disappointment when they got the Alamo Bowl, in part because the last two times CU's been to bowl games, which is not often, but it's been the Alamo Bowl. And so they wanted something a little bit different. And there was some disappointment that it was a conference opponent. I had to remind people that, yes, it's a conference opponent, but they haven't seen each other in 36 years. So it's not like you're playing Utah that you see every year. So I think people have gotten over it for the most part, and that they're ready to embrace it.
There are certainly, you know, storylines that are big and will get talked about regardless. What are the things that maybe you're following, whether it's players, certain positions, other storylines besides, you know, Travis and Shedeur and Coach Prime? What in this matchup, what are other things that you're following?
Well, one big one I think for both sides to watch for is Jimmy Horn Jr. Is one of their top receivers and has really not had the year that he wanted, partially because of injury. He's missed the last, I think it's 4 or 5 games. I think it was all of November he missed with an injury. And so they really want him to have a big game. Shedeur has said it publicly, you know, we want Jimmy to have a big game. So watch out for him because, you know, they are going to try to get him the football in this bowl game. And so I think that's a big one. And then just there's a lot of seniors. Coach Prime has mentioned it, that, you know, they're going to go to the NFL or they want to go to the NFL, that are trying to show out and look good one last time in a Colorado uniform. And so you have guys like even Shiloh Sanders and Cam Sim and Craig and, you know, guys like that that want to look good in a bowl game.
Talking to Brian Howe, writer for BuffZone.com here on BYU Sports Nation. Certainly BYU's number 3 pass defense efficiency versus one of the top passing offenses in the country will be a fun storyline to watch. Are there other storylines that you're even more intrigued by in this one?
I think just some of those seniors I was talking about. You know, I think I'm looking forward to seeing, you know, how those guys play and really how CU comes out and how focused they look. But I'm actually looking forward, I think, the basic storyline of this matchup. I mean, this is one that, you know, I've wanted to see for a long time. I think BYU is the only FBS team in a neighboring state that CU hasn't played in the last, you know, 25, 30 years. So I'm looking forward to that matchup. And, you know, the fact that they play each other next year in Boulder, I think it's going to be kind of a, you know, a fun preview for that a little bit. I know the team's going to look very different, but I'm just looking forward to seeing this matchup.
What concerns, if any, do you have about this Colorado team going into this matchup? Any weaknesses right now that you're looking to see how that plays out?
Well, I'm not overly concerned because of the way they've played this season, but there's partial concern with, you know, how invested are they? And like, you know, obviously Shador and Travis have been all over the country the last couple of weeks, gathering awards and things like that. And the Buffs really, for the most part, took almost two full weeks off. I know that they did some workouts, things like that, but they really got back together this week. I think they'll be focused, but you have to wonder with a lull like that, you know, how good are they going to look? I think that's the biggest concern. And, you know, they did lose one of their top defenders to the portal, Nakai Hill Green, an inside linebacker that, you know, was really one of their top defenders. He won't be there. And so I'm curious how that's going to change how the defense looks, because they've played very good defense all year, but he's been a big part of that.
Deion Sanders has certainly shaped the fortunes of Colorado football, and the future is always interesting with him, especially with perhaps both his sons gone. What does the future look like? Do Colorado fans expect him to be around for a while, or do they think he'll take another job at some point?
Well, they expect him to be around because he keeps saying he's going to be around. And so, you know, and they're willing right now to take him at his word. And, you know, I'm surprised, honestly. I'm going to admit I was wrong. I mean, I really thought this was a two-year deal and that once his sons were gone, he was going to leave. And it really does not appear that's going to be the case. I think, you know, he's excited about building something long-term. And I think he's excited about the challenge of building it without his sons and without Travis, who he does view as a son. So I think he enjoys that challenge. And you look at the guys they're bringing in, he's certainly not recruiting like a coach who is on his way out. And so I don't know how long he's going to be here, but from the start, I never really expected him to be here in 2025, and I think he definitely will be. So beyond that, we'll see. I think with Coach Prime, all bets are off as far as how long he's going to be here, but I do think he's here at least next year.
Yeah, signing Julian Lewis and Caden Salter mm-hmm. from Liberty certainly makes it interesting, a quarterback going into next year. Brian, we appreciate the time, and we look forward to the matchup on the 28th.
You bet. We'll see you in San Antonio.
Absolutely. Brian Howell of BuffZone.com. Yeah, interesting matchup given that nobody really opted out
right.
for both teams. There's a couple, but not really.
Yeah, look, I mean, and there's a reason why most people view this one as one of the better matchups outside of the college football playoff. And
the number one for most people.
I completely agree.
Hang a banner.
I think this is, yeah, we'll make the T-shirts. I love this matchup. I think it's going to be fantastic. And I do love the fact that you have all of these star players who are going to play. And
We kind of love that BYU beat Josh Allen in his last college game.
Sure, of course
right?
we did.
Wouldn't BYU love to spoil the final game for Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter?
Let's do it. Let's
right?
go.
And they play next year.
That's
I think there's some compelling storylines here.
All right, if you missed any interviews, shows, or games, you can find them on BYUSN.com or download the BYU TV app to get all of the BYU TV sports content on demand.
Coming up, our rise and shout out to the anniversary of one of the best plays and wins in Cougar football history. This is BYU Sports Nation.
BYU Sports Nation is presented by The BYU Store, official outfitter of BYU fans everywhere.
BYU Sports Nation is on demand. All you need to do is download the free BYU TV and BYU radio apps or listen to the podcast. And please, while you're there, subscribe, rate, and review.
Please, please. On the IMDb page, Dennis Pitta is listed as a co-host on this program, which I think he's done once or twice. So I'm not sure he's quite deserving.
If you've
I think
done
you need
it
to
once,
hit at least 10.
Yeah.
To qualify is what I heard. And
okay.
I'm making up right now.
I was going to say, that's not really a thing.
Our poll question of the day is this. What's the top storyline in BYU sports right now? Many of you weighing in. Bowl prep versus Colorado. Chase Roberts' NFL decision. Darius Lassiter first half suspension. Yegor Demon, Richie Saunders injuries. At Twiggier Stone on X. Bowl game. It would be great to end the season on a high note. Spencer and I were talking a little bit yesterday with Blaine about the value of a win or loss. I don't think a loss affects BYU negatively that much. Obviously, it'd be great mm-hmm. to win. You feel good going in the offseason. I think we feel good no matter what.
Yeah.
There's a certain disappointment that's still lingering, not making the Big 12 title game, Shep. But the fact that BYU, who was picked at its lowest to win 4.5 games, is notable and significant and amazing. It feels like, hey, BYU can compete in the Big 12. Now, can they sustain it? That will be a story for the offseason. Certainly a win would give you a little more preseason buzz and hype in the top 25. I still think BYU should be in the top 25 going into next year. So what do you think the value of a win or if BYU loses, the effect is for the Cougars in the Alamo Bowl?
Well, certainly a win with the spotlight on this game because of who BYU's playing. I mean, let's just be honest about it. Deion is going to bring people to watch because they want to see how this plays out.
Colorado's must-see TV for many 100%. Average, neutral college football fans.
You are going to get a casual fan tuning in because they know Deion Sanders
because Colorado.
Is involved in this. So a win on that stage would be great. But I agree with what you said. A loss is not detrimental. And believe me, I want the 11th win. That would be amazing. But if all, and yes, I'm laying on the sarcasm, if all BYU gets is 10 wins this year, yeah, I think we can all be okay with that.
What I don't want is a loss, and then we say, ah, last year BYU lost 5 to end the season. This year BYU lost 3 of 4. That would become a storyline in Cougar football. Don't want that. It'd be nice to win against a good team. Everyone's convinced Colorado's good. Coming into the year, they had low expectations as well. They were expected to be better, but I don't know if they were expected to go 9-3 in the regular season. The ultimate undoing for both these squads, Kansas. Kansas undid a lot for a lot of people. And Iowa State survived enough to, they lost but got to the Big 12 title game due to tiebreakers. BYU, unfortunately, did not. It's a very emotional thing. Okay, Chase Roberts, NFL decision. We talked about he's going to make the decision by the end of the week. How we feel like he might actually come back.
I think it's better than we thought, maybe
a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, it feels like it may be trending that direction.
Yeah.
And I think everybody is hoping that's the way this plays out because I agree with what you said earlier in the show. This is one of the best receivers BYU has ever had.
I'd put him in the top 10. I'd put him in the top 10.
Hands down.
I'd have to think about it more to see exactly where.
Yeah, no, easily top 10. And it's his clutch catches that really stand out. And I brought this up. When BYU needed a first down, when BYU needed to pick up a fourth down to keep a drive going.
Against Oklahoma State.
It was, Retzloff looked for Chase Roberts.
And Utah catch. On
time
the route,
and time
midfield.
Again, he came up with big catches.
Yep.
He rarely dropped a pass. He was so consistent all year long and was such a threat with a position group that had a lot of talented players there.
Yep.
He clearly was one of the guys that stood out. And so if you can bring him back and you bring back, obviously, your quarterback and you're going to have other receivers that will be back in this system, you bring back several of your offensive linemen. You bring back your main running back. This team could be something from the get-go because they bring all of this continuity back to the football field next year.
Regarding the Diego Pavia junior college eligibility statement that we talked about off the top, Hinkley Rapati is one of those guys who played a year at Cerritos. Would he be able to get that back and play another year if he wanted? He's a young father now, not sure if he wants to just move on or not. But we would miss Hinkley Rapati's arms and legs. That guy is first team all look.
Yeah.
I mean, he is a good dude who works out hard. That would be interesting too. And then we talked about Darius Lassiter being suspended for the first half due to reacting to a little incident right there in the end zone against Houston. Yegor Demon, Richie Saunders out with injuries against Florida A&M. It'll be interesting to see what impact those have on those respective teams. Okay, our elite voice of the day is this, presented by PAX Healthcare Elevated. Now, playoff bogey on X. It's AJ DeBonsa, the top storyline. We're all still buzzing from getting the number one recruit. Who thought that was even possible? I almost still can't believe it, yet I can. A week later.
Yeah.
It's awesome. They're still talking about it on PTI yesterday.
They are still talking about it on national shows that BYU landed the number one recruit in the country and the potential number one NBA draft pick in 2026.
Amazing.
It's awesome.
Today's Rise and Shout Out is presented by Mountain America, the official credit union of BYU Athletics. It's a fun anniversary today.
It's your and my anniversary from doing the first show.
Nope.
No?
Dennis Pitta and I doing a show. Nope.
44-year anniversary of the 1980 Miracle Bowl.
This is the greatest game and comeback and, frankly, win in BYU history. It was unbelievable.
44. What were you doing 44 years ago?
I was negative 3 years old.
You were looking down on all of us and cheering on the Cougars.
Yeah, I was an unembodied spirit. All right, thanks to today's guests, Tyler Batty and Brian Howell. Sorry, Dennis Pitt, we ran out of time.
Conversation continues 24/7 on X, Instagram, and Facebook. All of our shows are on demand on BYUSN.com.
For Jason, I'm Jerem. Shout out to Billy Green. We'll see you tonight from BYU Basketball with Kevin Young featuring Dallin Hall. Go Cougs!
You knew how that game was going to play out.
I did.